Grace, mercy, and peace are now yours from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, right before our gospel lesson today, the Bible says these words, Jesus returned to Galilee by the Spirit. Now, Luke could have chosen 100 different ways to write what he wrote. He could have just said, Jesus went to Galilee. He could have said, Jesus returned to his hometown and left it at that. But no, he says, Jesus returned to Galilee by the Spirit. And that's important for us to consider today. In fact, when I read those words and considered just those three words, by the Spirit, why Luke would write that, I figured I had to preach on that today in Epiphany. It's not just a Pentecost thing, the Holy Spirit. He's not just a Pentecost God. He's an Epiphany God. He's a God that's there all the time. And it's important for us to consider that this Spirit is upon Jesus as he returns to Galilee just after what had happened. Jesus had just been baptized in the Jordan River by the same spirits. And then Jesus was led by the same Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. And why would a Holy Spirit do such a thing, lead Jesus to an unholy Satan? Because it was by the Spirit that this scheduled rematch of Satan versus true man in the flesh would occur. And this time, the true man in the flesh, the second Adam, Jesus, wins the duel of man versus Satan simply by speaking the words of Moses, but the words that were not just the words of Moses, but the words of Moses inspired by the Spirit, the same Spirit. It was after all of this that our gospel lesson says that Jesus was led by the Spirit. Yes, the same Spirit to Galilee, his hometown. And you would think that that's a good thing. Jesus returning to his hometown, returning to the kids he grew up with playing kickball in the streets, the kids he hung out with playing the Xbox as mom made hot dogs and macaroni and cheese, whatever they did back then. You would think it'd be good for Jesus to go back to his hometown, and initially it was. He is so welcomed back to the hometown where they have heard reports of this Jesus, their hometown hero, healing people miraculously. And they roll out the welcome mat for this Jesus, the son of Joseph, the son of Mary. They even invite him to read scripture in the hometown synagogue. And that is no little deal back then. You have to be somebody important to read scripture back then in the synagogue. And so this Jesus gets up and unrolls the scroll of Isaiah, because they didn't have a Bible back then. They didn't have one big book. They just had individual scrolls. And on that day, they were reading from the scroll of Isaiah, and Jesus unrolls the scroll and reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." Then Jesus rolls the scroll back up and utters these amazing words, "Today, these words are fulfilled." And then the people laud him and say, "What a great guy." But then Jesus turns it on them and says, "You want me to do miracles, pretty much. But I'm not going to do miracles here. Just as Elijah didn't do miracles here either. And Elisha, they did miracles, but they did them for people who you wouldn't agree with. A Syrian. A Zarephath widow." And then instead of cheering this hometown Jesus, they're insulted. Instead of celebrating joyfully who this Jesus is, led by the Spirit, the hometown people roll up the welcome mat. And they treat him as one that you would expect Satan to treat. They take him to a high hill and actually attempt to kill this Jesus. They try to throw him off the hill, this big cliff. But because Jesus is being led by the Spirit, and because Jesus is being guided by the Spirit and protected by the Spirit, which is not just a force or an energy or a power, but actually a person, a being of God, who we do not understand, so I'm not going to try to explain him. But because Jesus is being led, guided, and protected by this same Spirit, Even though he's put aside his full divine powers as God in the flesh, Jesus walks right through this angry mob. They can't touch him. That's narrative or story number one. Then we turn to a reading from Acts. And we see how St. Paul is on a missionary journey. And St. Paul picks a new travel companion named Timothy. Today is actually St. Timothy Day. Timothy is a young apprentice. He becomes a pastor. Paul writes a couple letters to him. And we're told how Timothy and Paul and the companions traveling with Paul, they're kept, refrained by the spirits from going to Asia and preaching about Jesus there. Now, why wouldn't the Spirit allow Paul and Timothy to preach about Jesus in Asia? Perhaps the Holy Spirit's worried that if they go to Asia, that there would be trouble there. But I'm not sure that's quite the answer, because the same Spirit led Jesus to Satan. He led Jesus back to his hometown, where he knew the hometown people would turn on Jesus and become an angry, even murderous crowd. He's led to dangerous places before. So why won't the same Spirit allow Paul and Timothy and Silas and the group of missionaries go to Asia to preach about Jesus? Is it just because he's concerned about Paul's and Timothy's safety? I'm not so sure. I don't know why he's refraining, keeping them out of Asia. But the Holy Spirit, this Spirit, knows what he's doing. He's an efficient Spirit. He's an efficient God. And we learn a little later that he's heard some prayers of some people in Macedonia crying out to God for them to know more about the one true God. And so the Holy Spirit goes to Paul in a vision by night and gives them a vision of these Macedonians crying out to Paul. And Paul wakes up and he goes and tells his vision to Timothy and Silas and the others. And they conclude from God, from the Spirit, this vision is. And so they don't go to Asia, they go to Macedonia. That's where they go. And how will they know if this trip to Macedonia is from the Spirit? Well, if it's from the Spirit, you'll see proof of the work of the Spirit. You'll see the fruit of the Spirit. And right away, we see proof. Paul and Silas and Timothy see the fruit of the Spirit as they go to the river outside this city, where people wash their clothes. Lots of people gather there. They draw water, they wash their clothes. That's where they meet, they talk politics and other things. Are you going to vote for Trump or Clinton? That's what they talk about at the river. And so they go there, and they start talking not about politics or about economics. They start talking about Jesus to this lady named Lydia, who's washing her clothes. And we know that Lydia, she's got some money, because she is a dealer in purple cloth. That means she's rich. She's got a business, and it's a good business. And they speak to this Lydia about Jesus, and she believes the message. She believes in Jesus so much that she now invites Paul and Silas to come to her house and eat hot dogs and macaroni and cheese and play Xbox, or whatever they did back then. And Paul and Silas end up baptizing her whole household. All the kids, the cousins, the nephews, whoever is there. So we see the fruit of the Spirit right away. And then Paul and Silas enter the city. And right away a demon-possessed female slave, that's what the Bible calls her, comes jeering at Paul and Silas because the demon can sense who these people are. And the demon does not like them. And so, right away, Paul starts ignoring them, but then turns and casts out this demon. He casts out the demon, but instead of the town being happy about this, they're not happy. And the reason is because this demon-possessed female slave, as the Bible calls her, she helps bring a lot of business in. And so now that the demon's gone and the woman's healed from her demon possession, the business is gone. And so the town doesn't like that, because now They don't know how they're going to buy the macaroni and cheese and hot dogs and Xboxes. And so now they riot against Paul and Silas. They beat them to a pulp and they throw them in jail. And now you're wondering, why did the Spirit keep them from Asia? I mean, this is not a safe place. It's dangerous. And just as you think that this Spirit has hung them out to dry, that he doesn't care much about Paul and Silas and Timothy, something miraculous happens again. An earthquake happens. You probably wouldn't think that's a good thing. An earthquake happens, and it shatters this jail, and all the prisoners run out of jail. And the jailer, who is charged to keep watch of the prisoners, is so distraught because he's wondering what's his fate going to be when the governor or mayor finds out all the criminals are loose. And so he decides to do something terrible to himself. He's about to kill himself because he can't deal with the shame or what's going to happen. But Paul and Silas, they didn't run away because they're being led by the Spirit, you know? And so they go to God and they say, don't do this terrible thing. We're still here and we're your biggest criminals, right? The whole town hates us. We didn't run away. And the jailer starts asking questions. Why would you guys stay? And they say, because of Jesus. Well, who's Jesus? Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus died on the cross. He's forgiven our sins. Jesus has risen from the dead. He's going to give you eternal life. And the next thing you know, the jailer is like, now what? And the Paul and Timothy and Silas are like, we need to baptize your family. So he says, come on to the home. We eat macaroni, cheese, and hot dogs and play Xbox. And you can baptize my whole family. And we see proof of the Spirit, the same Spirit at work. Paul later brags about the faith of these first Christian converts in Macedonia in his letter to the Corinthians. He brags how they took a collection, you know, because Lydia's pretty rich. And the jailer, he might have a pretty good job that pays him pretty good too. They took a collection for the poor people of Jerusalem who they had never met. Paul brags about the size of this collection and what it did to the Jewish Christians who they had never met, showing them love and care, wishing that Christians all around the universe would be like these Macedonians, like Lydia, like the jailer, like the rest who by the Spirit repented of their sins and received Jesus as their God and their Savior. And so we have two different stories today, two different narratives here. Two different men sent to two different towns, but by the same Spirit. Jesus sent to his hometown where he was raised, and he sent there not just to say, hi, folks, I'm back. Hi, Mom. Not just to reveal that he is the son of Joseph and Mary, but rather to reveal now that he's the Son of God, God in the flesh, sent to preach the good news of God's grace, not just to do miracles like a genie in a bottle, not just to heal people of pneumonia or even cancer, but to heal people of death. And then there's Paul, a Jew who once hated Jesus, now leading missionary trips all around the world for Jesus, restrained by the Spirit to go to one place, to Asia, but instead inspired by the Spirit to go to another place, to Macedonia, to preach about Jesus as true God and Savior. Two men led by one in the same Spirit. The one Jesus, God himself, sent to his own people and outright rejected. The other, Paul, sent to total strangers, welcomed at first, but then beaten within death and jailed, only so that more people could come to know the message about Jesus and be saved for eternal life. Two different men, two different towns, two different results. But the one same Spirit at work in both situations, in both men, in both towns. And actually, this same Spirit during this Epiphany season, in this place, at this time, would like us today to see we have hundreds of men, women, and children gathered. And then gathered to be sent to hundreds of different locations, Different locations, different men, women, and children, but all led, guided, and protected by the same spirits. All led and guided and protected to speak by the same spirit about the same Jesus. That same spirit is working in your life. He wants you to know that today. It's your narrative. The same spirit got you out of bed on a very cold but sunny day to come and hear about Jesus. Calling you to receive not the force, but his power, his real power. Given to you already. You have it. You have the same spirit that Paul and Silas had for their mission. The same spirit working in your life, in your narrative, calling you to hear about what Jesus has done for you, calling you and sending you out for mission. And how do I know you have the same spirit? Because the same spirit that baptized Jesus in the Jordan River baptized you. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, you are baptized, right? That's why we begin every service, not with some random word that Pastor James or Pastor Mark comes up with, but with those words, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, because God is here. The Holy Spirit is here. Just as he was in your baptism, he comes here where two or more gather in Jesus' name. The same Paul who was on that trip to Macedonia said it like this: "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but simply because of his mercy. He saved us by the Spirit, by the washing of rebirth and renewal of the Holy Spirit, who he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior." This same Holy Spirit chose someone, some pastor, some mom, some dad, some grandma, some grandpa, some neighbor, some friend, to speak by the Spirit about Jesus to you. Jesus, the second Adam who defeated Satan by the Spirit, who won your forgiveness by his blood shed on the cross, who won your resurrection by his resurrection, and by his Spirit, this Jesus has put his life into you. The same Jesus who defeated the devil in the desert, death on the cross, and the empty tomb speaks by his Spirit. His love into you. His love through you for others. And you have life. You have a new life, an abundant life, whether you realize it or not, whether you feel it or not, experience it or not, you have God's life breathed into you through Jesus by this Spirit. No mere words of some wise man or wise woman, no cute comebacks or pithy rhetoric, bumper sticker slogans. It's not politics, it's not economics, it's just Jesus crucified and risen by his Spirit into you, and the devil is gone. You don't need the force for this. You need the Spirit, though. Just Jesus, spoken out of you by his Spirit for others. And guess what? They see it, and they hear it, and they may not understand it, but they know something is different. Like those Macedonians. And their life has changed, and next thing you know, they're caring for the poor Jews of Jerusalem who they've never met. Jesus, pouring out of you for others. Some people you may never have ever met or knew very well. Like the woman who was homeless and been worshiping with us for the last 8 weeks. And we didn't know her well, but she came every week to church with her four kids. And now she's got a house from an aunt in Iowa. And we were just the Band-Aid to get her through. All God's glory to the Holy Spirit who knows what he's doing. Jesus pouring out his love for others through you, by his Spirit, through you, for them. So people like Lydia and all her family, and the jailer and all his family, and this woman who's now in Iowa with her four kids at her aunt's house, starts her new job tomorrow. So they all and you all can have life and have it to the full by Jesus through his Spirit, making all things new. In Jesus' name, amen.